Welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Nick tells me all about the fun he had at the Ale Syndicate Mambucu event, and we both chat about the Goose Island Wrigley event last Saturday. All that and more on this week's episode of Chicago Beer Pass. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boop, and it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brett Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And every week on Chicago Beer Pass, we're talking about the great beer events we went to in and around Chicago, as well as letting you know about all the events coming up that you should be going to and some that we're going to be going to.
You said it all when you said it.
Okay. And since we're talking about beer, we always have to be drinking beer. And we keep it local because it's Chicago Beer Pass. So we try to drink local breweries. And this time we're doing one that just recently showed up in the store for me. 1090s IPA.
You know, Brad, craft beer transforms four simple ingredients into something great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what it says on the bottle. I don't know.
Oh, in the beer. Okay. I was waiting for the punchline.
You're
on
like,
that.
Are we still talking about beer?
What is it transforming into? Oh, beer.
All right, so this is the 1090 IPA. Now, we were talking about this in, you know, pre-show, right? It's like everything we've had from 1090 has been like, you know, literally like a 10 or 11% beer.
I know. They do. For whatever reason, he's doing like really big beers, trying to make like a, I don't know, a big print on things. So
yeah, some good stuff. I had the Belgian Wit from them that was awesome, just like bursting with fucking orange and citrus. It was really good.
Oh, nice.
But it was like 11%, but it was good. It was really good. Yeah. So this is like the smallest beer I've seen from them. This is an IPA coming in at 6.3%. And it's a classic American IPA. So Chinook, Columbus, Centennial hops are all going in it. The reason I like this beer is because it has a lot of flavor like their other beers, but then it doesn't linger at all. It finishes really clean.
Yeah.
You know, which is good.
Yeah, it reminds you of a typical IPA. Carbonation's really heavy on it, though.
It is.
Maybe that's kind of throwing me a little bit, but it's not ruining the beer at all.
I'm glad you didn't get damaged, you know, opening these bottles.
Yeah, what was it? I had a double cap on one of them, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
No, that's a first for me. I've never seen two caps on one bottle.
Right, I was like, oh, this is kind of hard to open. And then I was like, is this a twist off? What am I doing wrong here?
Right.
And no, it was double cap. So careful on that.
Yeah, so one of them was like that, but we're not saying they're all like that.
No.
It was just the one.
Yeah. And they're up in, what, Zion?
Yeah, so I think they were, I think I got the story right.
Okay.
So the space in Zion was going to be a contract brewer, right? And just, you know, just brew for everyone.
Okay.
And 1090 was one of their clients. And then I think 1090 said, you know what, we're just going to buy this space.
Hmm.
And I think that's what the story was, the backdrop.
Oh, that kind of worked out for them then. If they're just like, oh, you already built this? We're going to buy it.
Right.
I'm sure
right.
There's like more to it than that, but... Well, let's enjoy this. There's this whole six-pack to make it through, so we got a lot to drink. So let's get to it. Nick, how did the suburban brew bus tour go?
Oh, man. So we had a brew bus scheduled to go to the suburbs, right? Hit three south suburban breweries. But we couldn't go, man. We have a rule on the Chicago brew bus. If there's less than six people, we're not rolling.
Okay.
We're not rolling. So we had to cancel the brew bus.
All right.
So we didn't get to go to the burbs. So I instead went to the Ale Syndicate Mambucu meeting.
Oh, well, that worked out for you then.
It all worked out. It happened to be on the same night, you know. And so I went to Logan Square.
Okay.
Instead of going to, you know, Lions and those other places.
Sure.
You know. So, it kind of worked out. So I get to the Ale Syndicate meeting. So Mambucu does monthly meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it rotates locations. So I wanted to go because this was the first event I've ever heard of at Ale Syndicate.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Usually the Mambucus are at someone's house, right?
Oh, yeah? Is that?
Or they used to be. Maybe not anymore. Maybe they've upgraded quite a bit if they're doing breweries. Maybe they do restaurants now. But usually they were at someone's house.
Yeah. So it's literally one of these events where, you know, they're members of this basically a social club, and it's, you know, it's like a nationwide, it's even like international social club, uh-huh. where people bring their own meat, and then it's a contest where everyone's grilling, and then you get to judge, you know, one through three, you know,
okay.
top three prizes. So.
So they actually have prizes? It's not just bragging rights?
It might be just bragging rights.
Okay.
But usually, you know, you won. You know, you get to say you won.
All right, nice.
You know. So, yeah, we get there, and yeah, it was great, man. Like, everyone wants to win, so they brought, like, tons of food to grill and just share with everybody.
Okay.
And it was a real kind of like, it was really like a real brotherhood, like, where, you know, somebody would take a bite of a sausage. And then they would pass you the bite, and then you take a bite, and then pass it to someone else. Same things with like burgers and pork chops. Like, you know, it was very communal. You know, nice. It's not something you see all the time. It was really cool. And then Mamikyu brewed a beer with these guys. They brewed a beer with El Syndicate.
Oh, so was that on tap, or were you able to drink that?
Yeah, they had 6 barrels of it. They they hand zest some Meyer lemons, and they made a lemon pale ale.
Oh, nice. How was it?
It was actually pretty good, especially on a night like, especially on a summer night.
Okay.
You know, like 5.5%. Ball So Hard was the name of the
pale ale. That's the name of Ball So Hard. Okay.
That's the name of the pale ale.
So is it going to be at bars and stuff, or?
They didn't really say.
Okay.
I'm kind of thinking no. I kind of think they might be one and done with it, unless we keep talking about it, and then we can go get Ball So Hard at draft. Like, then they'll be forced to make it again, right?
Right. I think it's just funny ordering that beer would be, I'll take the Balls beer.
Something about balling. I'll take that one.
Yeah. And then, so how was El Syndicate space? I haven't been there.
All right. So El Syndicate is, it's actually a pretty slick space, man. It's 6,000 square feet. I got to see Jesse and I get to see his brother, Sam. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they walked me through the space. It's right under the train tracks on Diversey.
Right.
You know, right at the expressway. So like Diversey and Damon, basically.
Sure.
Right. So, but they told me the story. The story is really cool, man. So it used to be a train station.
Oh, really?
So what he said to me was, like, right after the Great Chicago Fire, you know, a lot of people moved to Logan Square, right? Because Logan Square was just north of where the fire stopped.
Yeah.
And what happened was they built this train stop, and it was a train stop. I think he said the Northwest Chicago line. And the whole purpose of the train was, after the city got rebuilt after the fire, they built this train station to move all these people that just moved into Logan Square back to downtown, you know, transport them back and forth from downtown.
Okay.
That was a pretty cool story. So this used to be a train station.
What? Do we have any of the tracks going in and out of there still? Or
no, no, no. So this was a train. Like, it's not like the train that goes to the suburbs, you know, like, because a lot of those train tracks have been around forever.
Yeah.
But this is like a decommissioned train that apparently was on a decommissioned line, and the line was just a Chicago line.
Okay.
Like, that's it didn't go, because most of those trains go to the burbs, you know.
Yeah.
Or Amtrak, they go to, like, other states or whatever. Hmm. But this one was just a city train.
Okay.
You know, so, and what they did was, so they moved into this space. And the space after it was a decommissioned train station, it was also an ice factory.
Okay.
So there's these really big, like, these weird, you know, what do you,
like make claws. Right.
They're really big metal claws that pick up ice and, you know, turn them into bricks of ice, you know, and you can still see that on the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
So it was a really cool space, man. So they've got a 20 barrel system, they've got 40 barrel fermenters.
Mm-hmm.
So they got 4 of them right now. I know some of them are for the guys that they're sharing the space with.
Arcade Brewing.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they got room to grow. So Jesse's and Sam, they're pointing into the space along the wall where they're going to bring in 60 barrel.
Wow. Okay.
As well. So the way it works now is that they're bottling, I think, in like Galena. So ultimately what they want to do with the rest of the space is bring the bottling house in line and then bring in another row of 30 barrel fermenters to sit in front of the ones they currently have.
Okay.
And then bring in some 60 barrels to sit along the wall.
Wow.
And then there's a space in the back that's got like, it's like an indoor camping setup right now, but that's going to be the tap room.
For themselves?
Like, right. They're just
sleeping there.
Right. It kind of looks like, you know how if you go to like a festival or something, or you know, and there's this one space on the festival grounds that has like, you know, this temporary housing setup.
Uh-huh.
And it's like usually like the office or something for like the, you know, for the festival. It kind of looks like that.
Okay.
So they're going to turn that into a tap room. So
oh, nice.
It's a great space. I don't know if it's open to the public yet, but it's exciting because it's like really convenient. It's like right off the expressway.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so, I'm going to have to check it out, or we'll have to find out if they have tours or what's going on over there.
Yeah, man. And cheers to Jimmy, man. He's a I know he throws events at Fishman Liquor and Tavern, and he's mm-hmm. He's one of the bartenders there. He submitted a five rabbit soaked bratwurst that took first prize that night.
Oh.
Or first place bragging rights,
you know? Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, so Five Rabbit made this beer with the brewery with the Nong, you know, they're over in they're in Norway. They're in Norway.
The O brewery?
Right. It's like okay. Yeah. It's like N and the number 0 and G and E, those guys. So they made a beer called Naked Rabbit with Five Rabbit, and he won first place with that bratwurst.
Oh wow. Yeah. Man, that sounds good.
This is a great event. Hey, Ale Syndicate Jake is the guy who put Mamba Q and Ale Syndicate together.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, how do you know these guys? He's like, oh, it's all about, you know, Jake hooked it up, you know.
Neat.
So, yeah. So that was a big score for them because Jake was killing it at Six Point.
Okay.
He was their sales folk. He was their sales guy. Their sales folk.
Sales folk. Is he sales then at Ale Syndicate?
Right. So now he's head of sales over at Ale Syndicate.
Okay.
So they're making things happen. It was a very cool event. Very cool summertime event. Just hanging out in the, you know, in the garage space. Grilling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know. Well, then what? Saturday was Goose Island Wrigley's 15th anniversary / benefit.
Right. So they got two pubs, the original one, Clybourne, and then the one that just turned 15 in Wrigley. Across, like right across the street from Wrigley.
And the Clybourne one is like 21, I think, this past year. Yeah. So, yeah, and this was kind of a celebration of, I guess, the pub, but more so the, I guess, benefit event for John W.'s son.
Right.
Right. We said his name horribly. We're
not going to touch
it. Yeah.
John Dub. Yes. He's a former Goose Island brewer, and I think he's at a brewery in downstate Illinois right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a benefit for his child. His child was stricken with some sort of cancer. Mm-hmm. So they shut down the place on a Saturday night.
Right. This was a shock. I guess it was a shock that they would do this or come together for him. Like, I guess it's like touching. I guess it's,
right. Like it was pretty moving stuff.
Respect for the community and for him, and just like, you know, getting together to not only celebrate but, you know, help raise money. And so this event, it was a ticketed only event, and there was what, 20 breweries there pouring beer.
Yeah.
I showed up around like 6:30. I know you showed up later than that.
Yeah.
And they had food out. They had desserts. And then every like hour or so, they were tapping a new Bourbon County.
Yeah, I showed up just in time for like, I think Templeton Rye BCS was pouring at the bar.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the cool thing I like about Goose events like is that, you know, they have this the Goose Island Pub catering business that runs out of Clybourne.
Okay.
And then that business is like, they supply food for Lollapalooza and for Pitchfork, and you know, a lot of businesses around town use them.
Yeah.
So I like going to those events because they have like this really cool menu of pub food that you can get.
Yeah, and it's all really good.
Yeah,
and they were also roasting a pig outside.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So they had meat from that, and then they were doing sausages as well earlier in the day. So
there was a silent auction.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that won this event for me was this brewer's calendar. Did you see this thing?
I own a few of them now. Did you buy one?
No, man. Okay. I need to get one still.
So it's a swimsuit, and I guess you would consider it kind of like a swimsuit calendar kind of
right.
thing you would get. So it's a 2015 calendar of Goose Island Brewers. You know,
and they're not playing any games. They're like all like making sexy poses and
yeah,
just really getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so November is the best one, right? Because like you know.
I didn't spend that much time.
No, I was.
Who's on each page, Nick?
I was intrigued, man. I'm like, yo, is this real? What is going on here? But the November dude, real quick, the November dude, he's in the barrel warehouse, and he's like literally like the BCS, a picture of it, is pouring over his entire body, right? Like,
okay.
And he's like shirtless. It's just fucking, it's funny, man.
Wow. All right, I looked through. I don't remember anything particular, but you know.
Yeah. So I remember Rare went on at 9:00.
Uh huh.
Which is I can't tell you the last time I had Bourbon County Rare.
Yeah, and they were, I guess, they're finishing the raffle when that went on, and there's kind of like a big line or crowd forming at the bar, and then quickly that line went away, and they were passing, glasses of this around to people. Like, this event was not crowded at all.
Yeah, it was like...
And they were like, there's enough Bourbon County Rare for everyone here who wants to try it. Like, don't worry. They let everyone know, and, you know, it just kind of like, they kept pouring in, and you could grab some if you want it.
This is weird for me, right? Like, I mean, and it's not a knock on Goose. You know, we like Goose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, so I had the last bottle of Rare I had, you know, was bottle number, like, 13,800 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's odd to me that anything can be called rare when there's 13,000 of them. Like, that's a large number of things, you know.
I don't know. How many times have you had it now? Like, probably, like, a dozen times? It's like, this is not a rare beer anymore. I've drank less Miller High Life than I have Bourbon County Stout Rare.
That's actually, I think that's a quote of the day right there. But no, but it's cool. I mean, if you ever have like the original, you know, Pappy Van Winkle, which is, you know, the barrel they use, it's a ridiculous, I had the 25 year of the original bourbon. Yep. I've had that on like maybe once or twice in my life.
Okay.
And it's just really, compared to just like a Buffalo Trace or something like that, or, you know, or even like, you know, Woodford Reserve or whatever barrels they use,
mm-hmm.
the base bourbon, Pappy Van Winkle, is just a monster bourbon. Like, everything's amplified. Like, everything from like the vanilla and the caramel flavors to the oak, even to the booze. Like, it's just a really overwhelming thing. And that's how Rare was for me when I first tried it compared to the BCS.
Okay.
Rare was just this over the top explosion of all these aromas and flavors, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of fading away a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. And I hear Mikey T said this was the last barrel of Rare in the city. I bet they find like something else. But this is what he said. There's the last one at Goose Island, maybe. There might be some bar that's holding on to something that they got. Right.
There are some people that like to do that.
Yeah. But that could have been the last time you have it on draft.
I think the fact that, you know, here it is, I don't know, at least 4 years later,
mm-hmm.
that you can go to an event in the middle of the summer and get BCS Rare, along with all the other beers, you know, Proprietors and Barley Wine. And,
yeah.
You know, Goose can really bring the pain if it's a Goose event. You know, they have a serious vault of beers. So I thought that part was, it's impressive, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know another brewery in town that can do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then just not only that, at this event, they had all the Goose Island stuff. They had stuff from Brickstone, Temperance, Penrose. The Rock Bottoms, Revolution, Three Floyds.
Yep, it goes on. It was nice. And then, like,
Perennial came up.
Perennial was there. I was looking at some photos today and saw Phil Wymore from Perennial.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they took good advantage of the space at Wrigley, because Wrigley's a bigger pub than Clybourne. And so they were, because, you know, you go to, you can't party outside at Clybourne.
No.
There's no patio, there's no deck. So, but you can do that at Wrigley, you
right.
know.
Just no polka music after a certain right. time, right?
No polkaholics, right? After like 10, because okay. Wrigleyville gets pissed, you know.
There was no polka at all at this event.
But there was like the grill was set up in the patio area, the outdoor area, and it was a good usage of the space.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful day for that. You know, I feel like all the brewers that got to stand outside and pour, like, they were lucking out.
Yeah, they won. Yeah. That was like a perfect day for that. Yeah, that was a good party.
Right, so, yeah, it was great seeing all the people that came out, and I know we ran into some people that listened to Chicago Beer Pass, so cheers, and thanks for listening, and hope you guys had a good time.
People are listening, man.
Yeah, I know someone left a comment on the Facebook page asking for a glass, and I grabbed my glass, so we'll have to get together, and, you know, I'll give you the glass. I don't need anything for it. I don't need the glasses.
Right.
But if you want them, I'm happy to share that with you.
Yeah, man. I really like the logo for Goose, you know, the Chicago flag with one of the stars as a goose.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Wrigley one's even cooler because it's like, it's the Cubs colors. It's like a blue and white, right. red version of the flag. It's good stuff.
It was good. Congrats on Goose 15 years. Let's get into this coming weekend and this week. You know, there's some fun events happening. So let's kick it off Friday. Well, I guess the big thing is this weekend. You know, there's a few events that revolve around this, so mm-hmm. we might as well mention it right off. Saturday is the Great Taste of the Midwest.
The Great Taste of the Midwest. It's one of the oldest festivals in the whole country. You know, I think, like, the Great American Beer Fest is older, but other than that, I think there's nothing older than Great Taste.
And so I guess you would think Great American Beer Fest is probably the number one beer fest. This is, like, I don't know, hard, not a number two, but it's not made, not as big as the Great American Beer Fest, but it's an amazing event.
It is definitely a top 10, some people would say a top 5 national event, beer event. Mm-hmm. Like every brewery in within, like, you know, 400 miles of Madison, Wisconsin brings their A game. They're all trying to impress each other. Yeah. That's an awesome party.
And I went last year, but sadly I will not be going this year. And but it's fun. I felt like you can't even make it around the whole thing like more than once.
Yeah.
Just walking around, you're like, okay, I have like an hour left. Who do I want to maybe try something from that I saw and right. I want to try again?
Yeah, and then a lot of people don't know that it sits on water basically. Mm-hmm. Like it's this park that's got these rolling meadows and then like this beautiful lake that it all sits on. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So that's Saturday. If you didn't get tickets, you're kind of out of luck unless you find someone that's like, I can't go, man. Take my tickets.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out how to get up to Madison.
Or if you're going to be local and can't get there, you could go to the Great Taste of the Local Option, which is also this weekend.
Right. So at Local Option.
Yep. On Friday. So this is a Friday at 3 p.m. That's how they like to do things. Yeah, 3 p.m. on a Friday. That's Friday, August the 8th. Yep. Yeah. So from like 3 until they close. They really go out of their way to make a special tap list, you know, Pipeworks, Floyd's, Jolly Pumpkin, just to name a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you want to go to Local Option if you haven't, if you got nothing going Friday.
Sounds good. Yeah. I got nothing going Friday. So I'm there. Wait. We'll see. Might have to, since I can't go to the Great Taste, I got to get a taste, right, you know, of something. Well, then also Saturday. Saturday is this Mash Tun Homebrewers Ball, right?
Yeah. So Mash Tun is a periodical magazine, right?
Okay.
That the folks at Maria's put out. So and then in conjunction with every issue of the Mash Tun, there's a Mash Tun Festival, and then this is something that's what they're doing is the Mash Tun Homebrewers Ball. So this is the first one ever.
First Homebrewers Ball?
Yeah, first Homebrewers Ball. This is August 9th from 2:30 to 6.
Was it like prom where the homebrewers had to another homebrewer to go to the Homebrewers Ball with them?
If you don't bring a hot female homebrewer and wear a collar and a tie, you won't get into this party. No, so it's the Homebrewers Ball. It's a $30 homebrew competition. So they're known for doing these homebrew competitions, right? Like I think our very first documentary on the website was like a homebrew competition by Maria's. Okay. It was called Iron Brew. So every year, at least annually, they do these homebrew competitions. Right. So this is with this one, the $30 gets you obviously access to the party. You get a tasting glass, you get a t-shirt, and then you get to stick around and you get to help pick a winner.
Oh, nice. So, okay. And that's Maria's is up in Bridgeport, right?
Yeah. So this is 3219 South Morgan Street. It's literally like two blocks away from Maria's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Then Saturday and Sunday is an event at the zoo.
Yeah. So Zoo Brew. This is the third annual Zoo Brew at Brookfield Zoo. So this is it used to be a 1-day event. Now they stretched it to 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
There's a VIP that's like $75. Neat. And then you can get general admission for like $45. So
have you gone to this before?
I went to the very first one.
Okay. So how does it work? Are you just, is it like a beer festival with like stands at different exhibit? Like the
No. Yeah. And you know, this is a good question because, you know, like even with the, you know, we talk about the one up in the zoo up in Wisconsin a lot, right?
Yeah. The Racine Beer Fest.
Yeah. One. And their zoo is ridiculous because it like literally sits like right off Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Oh, but like, so you go to the zoo and then this like, there's a pavilion in the middle of the zoo, okay. Right? And then it's under, the party's under that pavilion where there's live bands.
Oh, okay.
And it's an outdoor beer fest, right?
And then, so you can get a beer there and then walk and go look at an animal and come back with your beer?
Right, but it's away from the exhibits.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of just like a beer fest.
All right. You know, they don't want to have like, you know, Lagunitas is at the elephants. And
right. Like, I wish there were more danger involved. You know what okay. I mean? Like, I mean, and I was trying to use a different word, but I can't. But no, I wish that, you know, like, and, you know, hopefully that maybe this changes this year. I'm just telling you about the one I went to. Like
the danger might have increased.
In right. Like hopefully the danger increases. So the one we went to, there's a pavilion that sits, there's a waterfall that sits in the very middle of the zoo. And right behind the waterfall, there's a pavilion, and that's where all the beers were.
Okay.
But if you're having an event at the zoo, it's like, yo, well, the zoo needs to be active, right? Like you said, there needs to be, like, you know, some elephants, and I'm going to get, you know, a Wild Onions beer or whoever, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, take advantage of the zoo, you know? I know I've been to the zoo recently. I took my kid there, and it was like, there's a trolley that rolls around the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a 40-minute trolley because the thing runs at, like, 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But you should take advantage of the entire zoo. So, I don't know. So hopefully they'll do that.
All right. So does the ticket to the event get you into the zoo, or is it just for the event? You have to pay it because Brookfield is, you have to pay to go there. Unlike Lincoln Park Zoo, free.
Which is free. Yeah. So this gets you a ticket to the zoo.
Okay.
Yeah. So this event is from 5 to 9, both Saturday and Sunday on August 9th.
All right. That's pretty nice. So you can go there kind of early too and, you know, hit up the zoo.
And do everything we just discussed, right?
Do your zoo stuff.
Do your zoo stuff. See all the exhibits, you know.
And then go ahead and drink.
Learn about aardvarks.
Yeah,
you know,
the anteaters.
And, you know, and when you're done, you know, go to the brew event.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. So Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
A pretty great weekend with great taste, you know, local option event, homebrewers ball, the zoo. Whew.
Solid. I think we got some solid choices.
Kicking off August.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's the weekend, unless you got something Sunday.
I got nothing else, yeah.
All right. So then Monday is a Northman pop-up dinner. At the Sunday Dinner Club.
Sunday Dinner. Where's the Sunday Dinner Club?
Sunday Dinner Club is on North Elston, 3361 North Elston. And the Northman is the new beer bar. Oh, wait, sorry. No, it's the new cider bar. It's Chicago's first ever cider bar.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's run by the folks that bring you the Fountainhead Chicago as well as Bar on Buena.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so Cletus is going to be there. They're making like 4 different entrees. And then Cider Brian is the cider director at Northman. And then they're going to, you know, pair those.
He Cider Brian before?
He was Cider Brian before the Northman.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was the, Uncle John's is what it's called. It's up in Michigan. Okay. It's a cidery. So he was Cider Brian from that. And then I think they poached him from there. They said, look, you need to come and run Northman.
I just kind of want to ask him, like, at what point did you decide, like, I'm Brian. Now I'm Cider Brian.
When did you become Cider Brian?
Yeah. What was that tipping point? I was like, this is it. Cider for life.
And if he pulls out some tattoos, that would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing. All right, so we got to get back on it.
Yeah.
Northman, Chicago's first ever cider bar. Pop-up dinner Sunday at the Sunday Dinner Club.
Okay.
Actually, it's not on Sunday. It's on Monday and Tuesday.
It's on Monday,
I'm confusing you guys. Sorry.
Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Monday and Tuesday. It's a 2-day pop-up.
Okay.
So they're doing 3 courses, but then they do a welcome course, and then they do a closing course, too. So.
Neat.
That's a $65 ticket.
Okay. Yeah. Then also Tuesday the 12th is, I guess, Beer Miscuous, which we went to recently for that preview event.
It's a great spot.
Yeah, they do Tasting Tuesdays, where every Tuesday they pour free 2-ounce samples and several different kinds of beers, you know, a free tasting every Tuesday. Whoa. Right there. This is worth talking about. We don't even have to say who the tasting is this month, or this week. We will. I guess I know. Wait, we always record on Tuesday. So we should maybe, they have like that basement area. Maybe we should record here or there.
I think we should record there and then probably whoever's there.
Get the tasting and talk to them.
And talk to them.
Huh. All right. We may have a plan. But this week,
call my assistant. Let's get this done.
My people will talk to your people. We'll take care of this. This week, it's Moody Tongue. They're doing a tasting. So Jared and Jeremy from Moody Tongue are going to be there at 6:30 to give free samples of their cold press pawpaw and the crushed green coriander wit.
I had the pawpaw.
Right. And that's kind of like the strange fruit, right?
Yeah, it's like indigenous to the Midwest, like this really weird, like, you know, Midwestern born fruit.
And then I think cold press, I think coffee, so.
Yeah.
So it's a coffee beer?
No, I'm thinking I'm thinking they just put it, you know, they cold press it, like, I think, like, the colt, the pawpaw goes in like in the bright, definitely after fermentation.
Oh, okay.
But I think it goes in maybe in the bright tank.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to go and get their explanation of this. All right. Every Tuesday. So I think we're going to mention this Tasting Tuesdays every week from now on. But yeah, so that's Tuesday at 6 o'clock at Beer Miscuous.
Right on. So I got one more event.
Okay.
This is also on Tuesday the 12th from 6 to 9. This is the Blood in the Water release bottle. Blood in the Water bottle release party. So this is Lake Effect Brewing, Blood in the Water. They partnered with Hail to the Ale for Shark Week release.
Oh, nice. Next week, Shark Week.
Blood in the Water. So Blood in the Water is a ginger hibiscus saison.
Hibiscus saison. All right. I felt like blood orange should have been involved, right? But all right. But I like the. This sounds pretty interesting.
Blood orange is a good angle. Yeah. Sidebar. Right? A sidebar. There was a. What was it? Oh. Dude, these 1090s got us all over the place, man. I just knocked over the mic. No. Okay. So there was a hair brand, the design company. They're coming out with period panties, right?
Right.
So they did the period party in Wicker Park, and to release. Mm-hmm. They're basically panties with a bunch of characters on them that just women are supposed to wear during that time. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
Sounds weird.
But Pipeworks made a beer for the party called Brief Relief.
Oh.
But the Brief Relief was like a blood orange. That's why I'm bringing it up, because Brief Relief was a blood orange pale ale.
Wow.
So then, and then the artwork for the glasses, like this woman in her period panties holding this. This is way off course here.
Yeah.
But she's holding this glass of blood orange ale, and the glass is just overflowing. And it was, I don't know, it was really funny.
All right, weird event. I don't even remember talking about that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it. I heard about it, and I was like, are you serious? Is this happening? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
All right. But this beer does not have blood orange.
This has nothing to do with blood oranges or Brief Relief. This is for Shark Week. It's Blood in the Water, a ginger hibiscus saison, and the launch party is going to be 6 to 9 at Bottles and Cans. That's on August 12th.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. I think that'll do it. We got to get out of here. We're off course.
Turn it off. We're done.
But, Nick, before we go, how can people get in touch or find out where you're at?
Hey, man, I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And you can find me on Twitter. It's at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes and Stitcher. You can leave us a review. Love seeing that. And then the Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We're usually posting photos at all these events we're at. You could ask us questions on there when the pictures go up.
Might sell you some glassware from these events.
Sell you some glassware, yeah. whatever you need, we got you covered. So like us up there, see what's happening. And that'll do it. Another episode of Chicago Beer Pass.
Woo! Cheers.